At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. We have a short episode for you today, and it's a very interesting one related to last year's AFC divisional loss to the Buffalo Bills in Buffalo. A variety of game management issues at the end of that game, in addition to the turnovers, which obviously, and the dropped two-point conversion, which end up being a lot of the reasons why the Ravens lost. But joining us with a different take on this is Charles Lynn. Charles, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
I love this topic when you originally brought it, and I want you to kind of talk us through at a high level what you're trying to look at about the Ravens strategy that you think maybe was suboptimal from that game.
Absolutely. So I think one of the things that I like to think about a lot is in terms of like analytics and how we're using timeouts effectively. And I know the Ravens to be a very analytic organization. So I was a little puzzled when John Harbaugh called the timeouts pretty early in that Bills game. So I wanted to kind of take a more, you know, in-depth look at that and see if it really made sense from multiple perspectives. So really wanted to analyze his use of timeouts early in that game and whether or not it led to the best strategy and the best chance for the Ravens to win.
Okay. Now, when you talk about this, you're talking about the second half specifically.
Correct.
And not the first, right? Okay. So the Ravens took their three timeouts. They took one at 4:26 with Buffalo having the ball, one at 4:21, and then another at 4:17. And those all led up to a field goal attempt from inside the 10-yard line that they made to extend their lead to 8 points at that point.
Could we share the slides, Ken? And maybe I can.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Let's do that.
Yeah. So just as a way, by way of introduction, you know, a lot of attention is usually paid to how coaches are using timeouts in the last 2 minutes of a game. But really, when John Harbaugh called those timeouts, and in general, I really haven't seen or heard a lot of analysis done around the use of timeouts earlier. You know, like 3 minutes plus left in the game. And so I wanted to use this particular game as a case study to say, hey, when is it appropriate to actually use timeouts early? What's the purpose of that? And then, you know, is it better to do that, or is it better to hold it till the very end, you know, last 1 minute or 2 minutes left? Ultimately, for this game, the timeout didn't factor in the final result because we missed the two-point conversion. But had the conversion been successful, I believe the early usage of timeouts would have played a major factor in the result of the game.
I'm with you, Charles. I agree entirely for starters, but maybe take us down a little bit. Oh, I see. I already stole some of your bullets here, so let me just stop talking.
Yeah, no problem. So I think it's helpful just to, you know, go back to the game and set up the context so we can understand the impact of using those timeouts early. Right? So 4:21 left in the game. Bills are up 24-19. Bills have the ball on the 7-yard line, so it's second and goal of the Ravens 7, and the Bills and Ravens each have 3 timeouts remaining. Now, the Ravens on the next 2 plays use successive timeouts following 2 Bills running plays and hold the Bills to making a field goal, right? So ultimately, it's 27-19 with 3:29 remaining, having used those 2 timeouts. The Ravens then drive the length of the field, score on a 24-yard touchdown to make it 27-25, and there's a minute 33 left in the game. Now, we know the Ravens missed the two-point conversion and ultimately lose the game, but had the Ravens converted the two-point conversion, the Bills would have been left with 1:33 left to go and kick a field goal themselves and win the game, right? And the way they had been moving the ball most of the game, it felt like that was, you know, not a reasonable probability at least, right? Mm-hmm. So typically, we would say, well, it's obvious towards the end of that drive that the Ravens should try to take more time off the clock, right? So, for instance, Mark Andrews catches the ball. He goes out of the bounds at the Buffalo 19. with like a minute 33 left. He probably should have stayed in bounds, right? But I would posit that a real mistake was calling the timeouts early in the previous drive and then creating a situation where it's actually difficult to manage the clock on that drive, right? Mm-hmm. If you go back and watch the drive, at the start of the drive, we were actually moving kind of slowly. It was like third and two, and you know, it wasn't sure if we had enough time to get down. Suddenly we hit like two long plays, and all of a sudden now we're like almost scoring and like only a minute 33 left. So not having timeouts just makes controlling the clock difficult, right? In that context, then, if we were to simplistically look at what would happen if we hadn't taken those two timeouts, right? And this is obviously very simplistic, and I'll get to the caveats later. But you would have said, okay, well, two timeouts, that's a minute 20 of clock. So rather than the clock being at 3:29 left, we would have been at, you know, 2:09 left. Mm-hmm. And then the last drive, you know, taking the same amount of time, would have ended the game with 13 seconds left, right? So this is very simplistic, right? But obviously we would prefer that the Bills only have 13 seconds left versus a minute 33 left, right? So, you know, in this is the starting point. The actual timeline is we call those two timeouts. We start with 3:29 left. We end with 1:33 left. If we don't use those timeouts in this alternate timeline, we start with 2:09 left and we end with 13 seconds left, right? So this is obviously a very, you know, basic kind of analysis. Some very likely counterpoints would be, well, the Bills would have played defense differently and not allowed, you know, likely to score on a 24-yard touchdown pass with only like 13 seconds left. And while that is true, I would also say, well, the Ravens would have had three timeouts available to move the ball under those situations. And they could, you know, move the ball in smaller chunks. They didn't have to use any of those timeouts on that drive, in fact, right? The other counterpoint could be, well, the Bills could have used their own timeouts in order to preserve more time, right? So if the Ravens were marching down, they could be like, well, let's not let the clock run out. While true, I would also posit that the defenses are usually loath to do this too early because they're fearing that they're giving the offense more time to move down the field, right? So defenses typically only do this in their own red zone. Yeah.
Right. And I would agree with that point, by the way, because in this specific case, Buffalo was up by 8. So correct. They had multiple chances to win this game. And how I would look at it as the Bills is not that I wanted the redraw value, although that would be nice if the Ravens gave it to me. I would want the 2-point conversion to save me. And then if the 2-point conversion had failed and they had no way to know whether it would or wouldn't, that's, you know, a pretty close to an even money event. The onside kick then becomes a much less valuable option if you have 13 seconds left on the clock, as opposed to having, 45 seconds, say.
Yeah. Yeah. I would add also that if like typically defenses wait till, you know, you're in the red zone and then they say, okay, maybe we'll use some timeouts, save like 30 seconds on the clock or so. But the Ravens, having possession of their own timeouts at that time, right, the three timeouts, also prevents the Bills from being too aggressively using their timeouts, right? Let's say there's a minute left, you're in the red zone, Bills call timeouts, we score quickly, the Bills get the ball back. Now, you know, we can call timeouts on their offensive side and almost get the ball, you know, have a chance to get the ball again back, right? So just even having the timeouts available, you know, limits the free with which the Bills can execute their plans.
Right? Yeah, so you force them essentially to play three down football and to work hard for that first down in order to be safe, quote unquote, that they're going to be able to run out the clock or score the winning field goal.
Exactly. But if you know, if you don't have any timeout, they just do whatever they want and not really worry about your ability to strike back.
Yeah.
So I think this really led me to the conclusion that there's actually a hidden value of timeouts that where they really allow you to control the game situation, the clock, much more so than you would think, right? So in this alternate timeline that I talked about previously, imagine the Ravens move down the field slowly, right? And basically they can't take the big chunks that they ended up doing. Then, well, you use your timeouts to conserve clock, give yourself more opportunity to score, right? Move in 5-yard chunks, but you can call timeouts, use the out of bounds, et cetera, right? Let's imagine instead that you move down the field reasonably quickly. Well, you get into the red zone. Well, now you know, okay, I got a minute left. Let me actually do a run play. Burn the clock down, you know, 30 seconds or so. I can use a timeout if I need to, but, you know, I know it's there if I need it, but I don't have to use it, right? And then in the situation where you score really quickly, like you get a breakaway, like the, let's say like the Tylan Wallace score from like the 20, you score in like, you know, no time at all. Mm-hmm. Well, now you still have the timeouts left to threaten the Bills back if they don't score on their subsequent drive, right? And that threat is actually very important because the Bills can't just operate freely, right? They may even choose to chew up some of their own clock doing running plays, right? Which ultimately reduces their likelihood of scoring. And we've seen the Ravens do this approach often, like at the end of the first half, right? They'll kind of like run two run plays and then go for the first down because they just want to make sure there's no clock left, right? Mm-hmm. So just having those timeouts available like limits the aggressiveness with which the Bills will attack the Ravens, right? So I think for all those reasons, those timeouts help you in that final drive scenario.
Yeah, it's often referred to as forcing the opposing play call. When you call a timeout, it doesn't matter how large your bank is, whether it's one, two, or three, or whether it's one or two, let's say, you call a timeout on second down after a play nets only a few yards, and then you force like a run play on the third down, perhaps with no timeouts left would be the optimal situation. So you force a run play, and then your opponent knows that they can run out the clock with a run play, but if they try a pass play, they might be forced to punt, and that could be very dangerous.
Exactly. All right. So just the threat of the timeouts that you have them, the you know, the flexibility to run clock or not. I think there's actually a lot of value to them that I hadn't necessarily realized, right, when playing out the scenarios.
Let me ask another question about this. Going back to the original scenario, go back a couple slides if you don't mind. But the Bills did not have just two possibilities here, because we're kind of assuming in these two actual and alternates that they kicked the field goal in either case. And we, at the time of the timeouts, that wasn't known. They were driving for a touchdown. And if they'd scored a touchdown, would it be more important to the Ravens to have those three timeouts left had they scored that touchdown? Or would it be something that it probably wouldn't have helped them anyway if they were down 10 with, say, how much would it be, you know, 4 minutes and change to go?
Yeah, so I get into this in the following slide.
I'm sorry. Complex
view of the timeline, right? But thank you for, you know, leading into that. So let me first start by, you know, just thinking broadly, when does it actually make sense to use timeouts early, right? If we don't think this is the right scenario, when does it make sense? And in my view, the biggest reason to use timeouts early that I can think of is in the scenario where you do go down by multiple scores and you basically plan not to give the ball back to the opponent, meaning you score, you recover an onside kick, and you score again, right? Because in that scenario, you save more time using the timeouts during the opponent's possession than when you have the ball, right? Mm-hmm. But if you plan to give
you ever have one of those days where everything's off? Well, Mood can help with that. And let me tell you about Mood. It's the online cannabis brand that is changing the way we handle everything from stress to sleepless nights with functional gummies that are 100% federally legal cannabis. Mood launched to make cannabis affordable, accessible, and transparent, while at the same time supporting American farmers growing premium hemp on small pesticide-free farms. Their gummies are next level. Seriously, I've tried a few and each one feels totally different. The Sleepy Time gummies, out like a light, immediately asleep. The Epic Euphoria, it's perfect when you just need a reset to feel good again. What makes them unique? Mood combines THC with herbs and adaptogens, so you get real targeted effects. You're not going to find this in your typical dispensary. And here's the best part. Mood ships discreetly to most states, offers a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, and right now you get 20% off your first order with the promo code RAVEN. Just head to mood.com. Find your perfect gummy and use the code RAVENS at checkout to save 20%.
Get your exterior painting to-dos done easily with Dutch Boy Pristine Exterior Paint. With its rain rinse technology, rain naturally washes away dirt and grime. Plus, it resists cracking and peeling, making it perfect to withstand the harshest weather conditions. Save big money on pristine exterior paint and start your painting project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Ball back to the opponent, you're better off saving the timeouts for that later drive, right? Because you preserve the optionality, the threat of the timeouts, right? As we just talked, right? So in this scenario, though, the Bills, if the Bills were to have scored a touchdown, right, at the 421 mark, then the rate of Ravens would have been down 12, needing multiple scores, right? And so you could say being, you know, at 329 left with one timeout and needing to score, recover the onside kick and score again, that's better than being 209 left with three timeouts and needing to score, recover and score again. So presumably the 120 is worth more than the extra two timeouts. I feel like, you know, that's probably true, but I wouldn't say it's so overwhelming. And I think more importantly, the chance of this scenario ultimately working out in your favor is small, right?
Much lower, yes. You should probably
plan for the more optimistic scenario where you're able to hold them to a field goal.
I think that's really important if you're looking at this from like a decision tree basis. You probably worked with those in the past, but you know, you want to focus on the 98% chance of you not recovering the onside kick. What's your chance to win the game in that branch of the tree than if you if you're forced to?
Yeah. So yeah, basically what I did here was like a decision tree, as you were saying, right? I don't know what the probabilities of each of these are, but you know, we can talk through them and some I think are more likely than others, right? So the actual that timeline that happened, right? We called the two timeouts, the Bills kicked the field goal, and then, you know, we end up leaving too much time on the clock, right? The other scenario where the Bills score the touchdown that I just talked about, you know, you could argue this scenario, it makes sense to use the timeouts early, but again, your probability of actually winning the game is quite low because you have to score a touchdown, recover, and then score again. In the scenarios where we do not use the timeouts and the Bills score a touchdown, okay, now this is actually the scenario I believe Harbaugh is trying to prevent by using the timeouts early, right? Where you only left with 2 minutes left and you have three timeouts and you need to go score and recover onside kick and score again. I don't think it's that much worse than A, right? But this is what he's trying to prevent against, I imagine. And then the last scenario, which I think is, you know, your probability of winning here is the highest, right? If you can actually hold them to a field goal and if you have your timeouts remaining, right?
Yeah.
And in this scenario, you know, we could move down the field at our pace, hopefully leave them with little time on the clock, score the 2-point conversion, right?
Okay. So the two scenarios you have here, scenarios B and D are the much higher probability of winning the game at all because A and C each require two scores. Each require, the Ravens to score twice. So I wouldn't even focus on A and C, obviously. So now it's just a question of B versus D. And I don't think there's any question that you have a lot more defensive value to those timeouts under scenario D than you do under scenario B. Your ability to dictate what the Bills offense would do is very limited.
Yeah, I mean, that was ultimately my conclusion. I know, you know, Ravens are among the most analytical teams, so I'm curious what the thoughts were, you know, what they're told in terms of, or what Harbaugh has coached in terms of, or what his analytics team tells him in terms of what the right time to use it, an early timeout is. But in my view, I couldn't really, you know, come up with a good enough scenario of why to use it in that scenario.
All right. So I think it's probably a legitimate gripe in the way the timeouts were used in that game. And of course, do you have more slides? First of all, I wanted to make sure we get.
I was just concluding. So like using timeouts early only makes sense in a situation where you expect to be down multiple scores, as we already talked about. But the path to victory is such low probability. You should probably play for the scenario where you do not go down by multiple scores and preserve your timeouts. The timeouts are important because they allow you to control the clock on your drive to tie the game. You can slow down or speed up as you need, and you can threaten another team to score again if they don't manage the clock well on their own final drive.
Yeah.
So thus, in my opinion, timeouts should most often be used just in the last 2 minutes, right? When you're very clear on, you know, you need to stop the clock or not.
Right.
Otherwise, there's too much variability and you lose that optionality.
Outstanding presentation. I agree 100% with your conclusions here, and all of your analysis is I think really spot on. It's something that's often forgotten is just what's the most important path to victory. The easiest path to victory is probably the one that is going to help you with the highest percentage of getting home. And the Ravens in that situation, entering the last drive, and this is after they'd already blown the timeouts, they really were in a fairly limited set of outcomes that was acceptable. And but it was because of the use of the timeouts. They needed to score, and they needed to score with very little time left on the clock. And they didn't really manage in the final 2 minutes of that game the clock down in the way they needed to get that over with. And they, in a way, they were bailed out strategically by the fact that Andrews dropped the 2-point conversion, and then they had to recover an onside kick. And we weren't faced with the Josh Allen driving, you know, a relatively short distance for a field goal drive. Might have been the alternative there. And I think, you know, that's come up on a number of other shows, so we don't need to go over it here. This is really about the timeouts. But they might have given away 60% of the chance that the Ravens had to remain winning the game, the fact that they scored with a minute and 30 to play instead of, say, 15 seconds.
Yeah, I really wonder what was actually communicated to them at that time, because I think there's a point in the drive, like, if we had actually stopped them on that final drive, we could have gotten the ball back with maybe, like, I don't know, 10 seconds left or something like that, right? So there's some point where if you score fast enough, you know, let's say like 2 minutes left, mm-hmm. then actually you get a chance to get the ball back, right? But once the clock drops below two, then basically the message should go out, okay, we need this to like take a lot of time, right? Mm-hmm. And basically we had like three or four like successive chunk plays of like 20 yards, 20 yards, 20 yards.
Yeah.
And even Lamar sitting back there, like throwing that pass to Likely, is kind of like, well, maybe we should have done a run play, you know, or, you know, it kind of was in this in-between gray area where it's like, can we score fast enough to actually have a shot if we miss the two, or should we just, you know, take our time and just hope we score the two? So I feel like it was a little bit unclear. Yeah.
Right. So at the 2-minute warning, there was a pass short right to Justice Hill, who went out of bounds for a 4-yard gain. I think that was one of their two opportunities to get down inbounds and keep the clock running. And then the very next play was a pass short right to Andrews, pushed out of bounds at 19 yards. My recollection is that one of those two plays, it wasn't really an option to make a catch and get down, and the other one it was. But they also had the ability to run the ball on one of these downs here, and run in addition to either of these plays. Once you got the first down, you could run it once before you threw the touchdown, at least. Just a very tough night to watch some game management things.
I would argue that the Justice Hill one, you know, he didn't have a lot of, he's just trying to get a couple of yards, and it was pretty seamless, like catch to out of bounds. I think that was to about midfield, right?
That's a good one to the Buffalo 43.
Yeah. And then from there, you're still like, well, maybe we still need this minute 50 to score, right? You're not entirely sure. I don't know. Yeah. But the Mark Andrews one, I think is pretty clear. Like, you're at the 19, he had time to slide, right? And then after that, I think, you know, I think probably calling some run plays to heat up the clock would have made sense at that point, because you're not going to get the ball back even if you score, you know, even if you stop them with any time to do anything. So I think that the Mark Andrews play is where we should transition into, like, definitely start running clock.
Yeah. And that could have been a time. And I know I said the opposite earlier in the show, but that could have been a time where if the Ravens had run the ball, the Bills might have started calling timeouts. Now what that means is they're going to have to recover. They're banking on recovering the onside kick, which is still a very high probability, you know, 48 or 49 out of 50 times they're going to recover that onside kick.
I think that the Bills in that case, if they're calling timeouts, they don't know yet if we're going to make the 2-pointer or not. Right.
That's right.
So if you're playing out that scenario where, I mean, the onside kick scenario is probably not a likely one that, you know, they're most like, so let's just think about the case where we actually make the 2-point conversion. You know, them using up their timeouts is great for us, right? They start calling timeouts, then now they have to do that final drive with less time, less timeouts, right? So anything we can do to reduce their time left and their timeouts left, I think on our drive, is great for, you know, hopefully stopping them from the field goal.
Okay. I'm not sure I 100% agree with that, but I understand your point there, that you're saying they might have been helping us out.
No, I'm not saying they might have held us up. I'm saying, like, let's say Andrews slides down with 1:33 left, the clock ticks down to like, a minute left. Now we start running the ball or whatever, and they start using their timeouts. I think that's great that the Bills use their timeouts, because when we, assuming we score and we get the 2-point conversion, they have less timeouts to get into field goal range, right? So them using their timeouts is good for us.
Yeah. I love the fact that your alternate, go forward one slide, I think here, your alternate plan, the Bills, yeah, this, it was three back again, the alternate. Yeah, there it is. If the Ravens do not use their timeout, then the Bills have 13 seconds to score if the game is tied, for example.
Yeah.
And obviously this assumes the Ravens made the 2-point conversion instead of missing it, but that's exactly the amount of time that they gave Kansas City to not score, and they lost the game to them. I guess it was in the divisional round previously.
Yeah, I mean, just ironic, but yeah.
All right. Outstanding stuff, Charles. This is a really good look. This is detailed. I love the assumptions and the way you presented this. Do you have interest in folks ever who want to talk football with you? How can they contact you?
I think you have my email address. So if they're looking to reach out, they can do that. Certainly stuff like this, analytic type discussions, I'm all game for that. That would be the way.
All right. So not everybody's on social media. So an email could certainly work. Well, thank you, Charles, for coming on. Other folks out there, thanks for listening as always. If you can, the one thing we'd love you to do is show this show to one other person. If you're on YouTube, please like and subscribe if you want more content like this. This is a fairly, this is extremely good, but there's fairly common that I'll have people with their own studies and analytics they've done that they kind of vet them here on this show. And I'm very, very thankful they want to do that. Charles, thanks again for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
And we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.